right to do thy will. And to walk with thee is not grievous unto me, for I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will, O Lord. I delight to do thy will. And to walk with thee not grievous unto me, for I delight to do thy will.
Well, I'd like to share and exhort in the word today, and we're going to have a talk and to think about open surgery, open heart surgery, because the heart is the essence, it's the emotion, it's the centre of man. And I'm calling our teaching today Affections and Attitudes of Our Heart. Affections and Attitudes of Our Heart. We are only going to get a change of mind, heart or attitude when the heart is in harmony with the mind and the mind in harmony with the heart. And indeed only God can do that, because whatever is in the heart, the mind will think. And the mind will agree with the heart, and the heart will agree with the mind. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the scriptures tell us. So, how is this all achieved? How do we change? How do we have that heart and affection to do the will of God? Because to obey and do the will of God means that you have to have an affection for that, a heart for that. Well, we can take some comfort because we're here today, online, in this room. So that tells us that we have an affection for this and to be here and to listen to the Word of God. So we can always take comfort in this. But the deeper life and the nature of the deeper life, as we know, is to take us deeper with God. And to go deeper with God, there has to be always that affection. And to have those godly affections, to do the will of God, we know we have many analogies given in the scriptures that show us how God is working with us. Those lumps of clay placed on the potter's wheel, where he's moulding and working and raising and creating a vessel of honour for his glory. So, affections and attitudes of the heart. That's what we're going to discuss today. And like all of this walk with the Lord, it has to be revealed. But you see, revelation comes on the basis of asking. And we know that so well, don't we, from Luke 11, where you persist, you continue, and you knock until you receive the answer. You see, sometimes God works those delays within our lives in order to see if we really mean business. But delays are also very good for our faith to develop, to believe, to press in and believe for more. And all of which is that God will work with our hearts, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. You see, God is always looking, isn't he, for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because we're told that they will be filled. Filled with what? The presence and glory of Almighty God. Filled so that you experience your unity and oneness that you have with him. Filled with that changed heart and attitude. You see, we don't always appreciate the fact that attitudes, whether they be right or wrong, they affect our walk. They affect our decisions, they affect our confession. And until God stops us in our tracks, we'll still continue to move in wrong attitudes, believing that we're glorifying God, until he, in his mercy, stops us in our tracks. Because he has to reveal what is in the heart. And I am convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, with it being worked in my own life over the years, that only the humble that walk before God will start to have an understanding of the heart. We will never fully understand our hearts because only God knows that. But we will get a certain insight. And the humble are always the ones that will deal with exposures. And exposures often come through the preaching and teaching of the word. It also comes, as we know, through our trials and tribulations. And there we see the exposure, what is in the heart, in order to get delivered, to have a changed mind, a changed attitude. And that is why when we get that deliverance, when we get that exposure, and often there is sin attached to it, and we confess and get it under the blood of Jesus, we find then that we have an affection to yield. Because that's the key to it, is yielding. It's not always in doing, but it's in yielding. As we know so well, it's the absence of resistance. In other words, you're not resisting God as the Spirit is leading and guiding you daily. You are not resisting by getting your own will, your desires, your plans in the way of Almighty God. Because your heart has been worked upon. You've had that spiritual surgery on the heart where you're able to yield. And yielding becomes a delight, an affection. It's done out of love and respect and harmony with Almighty God. You know, the heart is an interesting organ in man. As we know, it's that muscular organ. In its makeup, it's a muscle. And it pumps. And it's pumping blood through the whole entire body, through our vessels. It's pumping through our circulation. And not only pumping that blood, that life through us, but it's also that life consists of oxygen. So oxygen is being pumped to every part of our body. And not only that, but it pumps also the nutrients that we get and from our food that we eat. And not only that, but our hearts also remove those metabolic wastes as well. It is an amazing organ that never stops, that is pumping 24/7, keeping you and I alive. And did you know also that the heart is the first organ that develops in the human embryo? And it is formed, developed within a matter of 3 weeks from conception. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but that tells us an awful lot with what God is doing with us, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. So right at the new birth, when we become a new creation, there is the new heart in its infancy. The same as at conception, the heart is the first organ that develops to pump life into that child that is developing in the womb. That is why God hates abortion, because the life is there present. And so when we become a new creation, there is the first thing, the heart, that God begins to work upon to change. Because without that new heart, you have no walk with God. And yet wish to God that more Christians took notice, were more diligent about these hearts that we have, these new hearts that are so essential to keep us alive, walking in this life with God. But I said at the opening in this that the heart is a muscle, it's muscular. Well, what does that imply to us? Your faith. Because your faith is like a muscle, that spiritual muscle. And it has to be used and used and used. Just like the heart, which is a muscle, pumping away that life. And so for life to exist, we have to have faith. That is why I'm such a believer that faith has to be present first before you can ever believe for a new heart. And that is a gift from God, to believe that God can put that new heart in me, a heart that yields and has affection to do his will, his ways, and so on. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't only stop there. I've already implied to you that the heart pumps, and it's pumping life, blood, through us, our whole entire being, through vessels, circulations, which implies that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, deals with the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. And he deals with the whole of us, just like that blood that's pumping through the whole entire body of a human being. That is the work that the Holy Spirit does. He misses nothing else. He's working in every facet and area and fiber, spiritually as well within us, as well as preserving and keeping our bodies. That's why I'm a great believer in the gospel that is preached to the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. And that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed at Calvary. But it doesn't even stop there. Through the blood, oxygen is also pumped. And what is oxygen? Air, life that we breathe. Without it, we don't exist. And God breathed his spirit within us and gave us life. There again are these analogies. And it doesn't even stop there, brothers and sisters. Not only is it the oxygen, but nutrients. The food that we eat keeps the blood healthy. And what is that? The Word of God that we receive, that spiritual manna that causes us to keep alive, that feeds us. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't even stop there. The blood also removes the metabolic waste. And what do we find from that? God is our deliverer, our healer. And that is why he's given us his precious, priceless, holy name, in which to use in prayer, intercession, to use against the powers of darkness, to drive them back. Why do I say that? Because we're proclaimers of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. And so because the kingdom of God is within you, wherever you go, you dispel darkness. Whatever you say, your acts, your faith, your confession, your testimony is all proclaiming, revealing in this life the kingdom of God. What has God put within us, brothers and sisters? Why is it we still don't believe that we can still have this hardness of heart? Romans 7:21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. But he says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. The inward man. He's speaking there about the heart. The heart has to be renewed, changed, to embrace the law, to fulfill the demands of the law by faith now in Christ Jesus. He's speaking there about the heart, about the affection, the emotions, the heart of man. You see, the unregenerate who doesn't know Jesus, they cannot surrender. They're selfish, willful. They can't surrender their will up to God. Do you know why? Because it holds no interest. There's no affection there. There's no will. And so the world out there doesn't do it. And that's what makes the difference between you and I and the world out there. Because God has touched our hearts. And when he does that, we're never the same. And thank God that we're not. And when he touches that heart, he gives us the faith to believe. There you are, the muscle, the heart which is the muscle, that faith to believe that God will change me, that he will change this heart of stone to a heart of flesh. There is nothing wrong to inwardly look to yourself for those changes. We've been criticized many times over the years that we're too inward looking, too holy and art thou, and so on. These holiness movements. Well, there's nothing wrong with it if it's by faith. It's wrong if it's religious and you're inwardly looking religiously into the self. That is wrong, because that's monastic. And many times that is not revealing a new heart, but an old heart bound in religion. That is not what we're looking about here. The Holy Spirit will convict. The Holy Spirit will give us a season where we're to check our hearts, our motives. That's why he's come as the Comforter, to lead us and guide us and teach us. And as that heart pumps away, giving us that life, as the blood of the Lamb covers us, giving us life to our whole body, dealing with our circulation. And as the Holy Spirit gives us that life, that oxygen, and those nutrients through the Word of God, feeding us in order to remove that metabolic waste. In other words, to get the devil out of our lives. Oh, brothers and sisters, God has got this under complete control. How dare we question him or doubt him? What a slight that does to him. God has put a new heart and spirit within us. And I'm going to remind you again of the scriptures that speak of this, that you know so well. Don't ever get fed up with looking at them, meditating, drawing the life from them. Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Jeremiah 13 and verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. And here is where Jeremiah is given these symbols, revealing that it's impossible with man to change. He can't do it. And he uses all these various symbols, wine bottles and so on, to show him that only God can change man. And if you're still not convinced, well, the classic one in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36 and verses 26 to 28. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 28. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. So there we are. He says, I will put that heart within you and I will put my spirit within you. So his spirit, God's spirit, is needed for that new heart that you have. Can't function otherwise. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So you have a new heart. Open heart surgery. In other words, you have spiritually been given a new heart, a transplant. Isn't that wonderful? I will put my spirit within you. And so there we are. There's that oxygen that gives life to the blood circulating. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments to do them. There it is, the new heart to yield to God. And that is why it's our responsibility when he exposes sin in the heart to deal with it. And only those who humbly walk before God will be able to deal with those exposures in their heart. Then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So in other words, through that new heart that he gives to us, he brings the promises. And he says, you will dwell, I will place you. I will bring you back, I will place you, I will baptize you into my body, where you will function. Where you will be, in other words. Because he says, you're my people, and you will be my God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness or cleannesses. Here is the deeper life. Here is the deliverance that we have been sitting under, brothers and sisters, for years. I will deliver you from all uncleannesses. And it goes on. So there you are. You now dwell in that land, in that place that God has set you in. That is why your pastures are so essential for your going deeper with God. You cannot grow, your heart cannot develop if you are all the while in fear, in turmoil, confusion, battling always wolves in sheep's clothing and so on, which sadly so many of our brothers and sisters experience. God hasn't done that with you or me. You see, sadly, many by their actions, their will, they're trying to change. But you know, and we've tried it as well, but after a time, a season, when the affection isn't there, and the heart isn't in it, we simply go back because it didn't work. And the proud who tried it in their own flesh will then really blame God. And they blame the minister, they blame the pastor, they blame their brothers and sisters, they blame whatever it can. How we have seen that over the years. Why? Because they were trying to change. They were doing it themselves in their own flesh, their own determination. And the boy, doesn't the enemy use that and create confusion. But you notice that one only does that for a season. And then the problems start to manifest. And what is it God is showing? He's showing the heart hasn't changed. The heart needs circumcising. It's not in you yet, and I want to put it there. I want to put that affection. I want to put that life, my spirit there. I want the whole of your new heart bringing life to your whole entire being of body, soul and spirit. The reason that we don't get blessed sometimes, the reason that our prayers are not always answered, or we don't get our healing, because the heart yet isn't bringing life to the whole entire being of you. And that is why he removes these hindrances in his mercy and grace. You see, I fully believe that the deeper life which we preach has to have a heart and affection for it, as it's never going to work. That's why he says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our being. Every fibre of you is involved with God, his love, commitment. You see, many can be challenged by the word of God, but sometimes it's just for a season, isn't it? Zealous for prayer, zealous for the meetings, zealous in meeting all the needs, even stirring up the gifts, only to find that all of this is abandoned after a period. And do you know the reason why? There was no real affection. There was no real affection doing it all unto the Lord and for his glory. Unless God changes these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, we have no hope, brothers and sisters. And that is why the good news of the gospel is that God puts that new heart and spirit within us. And that is why we have that power through the baptism of the Spirit now to be able to change and conform to his will. Because if that is not working, you will only do whatever you're doing for a season. And it simply takes a trial, a test, and then we see what really is within us. But God has shown a way of escape, hasn't he? He's shown us that we don't have to go to those lengths. If we walk daily with him and in fellowship and our eyes totally fixed and set upon him, which he says, which is seeking the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Not just your material needs, brothers and sisters, but all that is added unto you is that working on your heart to keep those right affections and desires for him that causes you to yield and obey him. Because that is what pleases him more than anything, is when we obey him. And a heart that has been worked upon will take that very seriously, because you know that if you love him, that is how you please him. And when you love someone, your heart's desire is to please that person. That is part of what love does and is. But again, as we've read here and we've shown you in Ezekiel 36, that God has to put his spirit within us and a new heart. And that is what we're seeing in these last and closing days. It's what we're seeing with Israel being restored, brought back. She is going to have a new heart and a new spirit. And she will come alive again, because Israel is the apple of God's eye. And we know, don't we, from Romans clearly, that because Israel failed this, we have been grafted in. But it is still the same work. What God does for Israel and will do for Israel, he does to us as well. And we know that we're rapidly moving towards those closing days when the last Gentile is saved, and then God will turn back again to his ancient people whom he made covenant with through their forefathers. It is wonderful how God has planned this. Who could ever work this out? We never could. But you know, when your heart is touched, when your affections are influenced and are being worked upon, you give him all the praise and all the glory, and you lay your lives down for him and for your brother and your sister and for the body of Christ. And that is why we're called, as I close now, to be servants, slaves, to serve one another. Do you know, in serving, you are revealing what pertains to the kingdom of God? The power to serve, to love, and if called to lay our lives down, is revealing to this world the kingdom of God. That is why God uses each of us to reveal his kingdom in this world. And that is why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it can only be done and achieved by a heart that has been worked upon, where you have those godly affections that will yield to his will and not resist him. and only the humble hear this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, love and grace that never stops, that you are working with us night and day, working with us to conform us to your will, to your Son. Father, please never give up on us. Forgive us when we're willful. We want to do our own thing or do it our own way. Forgive us, Father, that we don't always yield to the Spirit. But Father, as we have heard this today, work on these hearts. Continue to change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Work this deliverance within us so that we have a right thinking and a right mind. We know that that is the battleground for man in his mind, and that is where the enemy tries to suggest and deceive us. But always help us, Lord, to look to Calvary, to look to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. Keep our eyes, Father, 24/7 on you. Wherever you are, may we be found also. Wherever you go, may we walk and travel with you. Give us the words in every situation. May we always present to this world not our life, but the life that dwells within us, the Godhead, Jesus, who is the only one who can touch the vilest of sinner. Oh, Father, we thank you for our salvation, the greatest gift ever given to man. Help us and give us that boldness, Father, to proclaim this good news to this dying world. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
While we're waiting for the Lord and worship, Stephen's going to play to us. I don't want you to sing while he plays, but just let him minister to the Lord on the piano, and then when he's done so, we'll join with him and with the Lord together. Thank you.